be justified before God. And he tells this parable. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then Jesus, there's another question that comes up. Can a rich person enter the kingdom of God? If you look in that same chapter at verse 18, a certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him. Notice that Jesus is looking at him in the eyeball. He's not talking to his disciples. Jesus looks at him and he says these words, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father God, we're challenged by your word, and these words are really radical to the people of those days, of that time. Father, this parable of the tax collector, and what Jesus is saying about the tax collector going away justified before God. Father, we pray as we look at the life of Zacchaeus that you would speak to our life, that you would challenge us. And Father, that wonderful work of grace you did in his life, you would do that work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Friday night, I went to a dinner, an OMF dinner in town. And it was a dinner that had been put on as a expression of appreciation for all those who are partners with OMF. So we're supporting a couple, a family, who are working in Taiwan, the noble Stephen and Megan. And so we were invited to go to that dinner, and it was just a thank you dinner. And there were some stories that were told that were really encouraging. The ministry of Hudson Taylor, I don't know if many of you know about Hudson Taylor and his ministry in China. He was actually there for 51 years. He actually learned multiple Chinese languages. I don't know if you know anything about language learning and how hard it is. The fact that he even to master one Chinese language would be remarkable. He mastered a number of Chinese languages, and he had an amazing ministry. So he was the founder of the Chinese Inland Mission, which is now they call OMF. So he started that organization, and there was a woman, she was an OMF missionary from a Chinese background, and she told us this amazing story. She had only found out recently that Hudson Taylor had gone to the very village that her family had come from in China. And she'd found out that her great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother had heard Hudson Taylor and had been converted, and that there had been four generations of believers. And she was a believer because of the contribution that Hudson Taylor, and she was working for the very organization that Hudson Taylor had established. Isn't that an amazing story? So we heard these stories, and the story that came out was the power of God to transform people's lives. And that's what comes out in today's story, the power of Jesus to transform lives. Anyway, the story begins with these words, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. So this is a really big story. And it's not a really exciting way to start a story, but actually it connects with Luke's travel narrative. And it runs for 10 chapters from Luke 9 to 19 as Jesus makes his way south down through Samaria, down the Jordan Valley to Jericho, onto Jerusalem where he knows he's going to suffer and die. And time again, it's mentioned that Jesus is on the road or passing through various towns and villages. And notice as we look at this scripture today, notice that there's a whole crowd of people in Jericho. There are lots of people who are gathered to see Jesus and hear Jesus. But the focus, Luke's focus, is on one person in the crowd. It's on Zacchaeus. And look at Zacchaeus. He's a short man. He's very wealthy. He is a tax collector. He is not only a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He is determined. He is so determined, he really wants to see Jesus, even if it means looking an idiot. And there's something ridiculous about a grown man running down the street and climbing a tree. I don't know whether you've ever seen that before, but imagine what the people thought when they saw Zacchaeus, a short guy, running down the street and climbing this tree. And then we see in this scripture this amazing contrast. We see Zacchaeus in the eyes of the people, and then we see Zacchaeus in the eyes of Jesus. And it's hard to believe you're actually talking about the same person. So let's look at Zacchaeus through the eyes of the people. Remember that prayer of the Pharisee in the previous chapter. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So when he prays that prayer, he's praying this. He's praying that his sin, that sin of the tax collector, is worse than my sin. His sin is disgusting. And that's how people regarded tax collectors. I wonder, maybe some of you have seen that movie, Les Miserables. Has anyone seen the film? It's a great film, isn't it? Do you like musicals? Has anyone seen the stage play, Les Miserables? Has anyone read the book, Les Miserables? Have you actually read it? How thick is the book? It's about this thick. There's a few stories in Les Miserables, and it's based on this epic book by Victor Hugo. And if you know the story, there's an inspector, a police inspector by the name of Javert, who's chasing Jean Valjean. Now, Jean Valjean had been sentenced to 20 years hard labor for stealing some bread. And after 19 years, he broke parole. And Javert was determined to catch up with him and get him back in prison. And there's a confrontation between Javert and Jean Valjean. So this is a musical. So these words I'm going to say are sung. So Javert, he can't even call him by his name, Jean. He calls him by his number, his convict number. Now, his convict number is 24601. That's how he talks to him. And Javert says to Jean Valjean, men like you can never change. Men like you can never change. Men like you, 24601. That's really putting him in his place, isn't it? And Jean Valjean says this, before you say another word, Javert, before you chain me up like a slave again, listen to me. There is something I must do. This woman leaves behind a suffering child. There is none but me who can intercede. In mercy's name, 3 days are all I need. Then I'll return. I pledge my word, then I'll return. In other words, he's saying, I'll give myself up. I'll hand myself over to you. I'll go back to prison. And Javert says this, "You must think me mad. I've hunted you across the years. A man like you can never change. A man such as you, 24601. So it's a really powerful moment in the movie and in the stage play. And Javert is blind. He cannot see Jean Valjean's heart. He refuses to see that he's changed. And when he talks about showing mercy and looking after a suffering child, he thinks it's just an excuse. All he sees is not even a man. All he sees is 24601. And Zacchaeus, his actual name means innocent and clean. But in the eyes of the people, Zacchaeus is anything but clean, innocent and clean. He is a greedy lover of money. He is a sinner. He is a traitor and a thief. He is a compromiser who has sold his soul to the enemy. That's who Zacchaeus is in the eyes of the people. So who is Zacchaeus in the eyes of Jesus? Jesus does not see Zacchaeus as a loser. He doesn't write him off. He sees his heart. He sees his longing. He sees his potential. He loves him. And that's a turning point in this story. It says in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And it says how joyfully he responded. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. That's the turning point in the story, when Zacchaeus responds to the love of Jesus. And hospitality in Jewish culture really means something. It means being included. It means being accepted as part of the family. And Jesus shows kindness to Zacchaeus. And do you think that that's outrageous? Do you think that's offensive? When in verse 7 it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the guest of a sinner." That's disgusting. Look at Zacchaeus in verse 8. Notice that he's not cowering. Notice that he's not scuttling down the street. He stands up. He's a different man. He's a new man. He has a new life. He has a new desire. He has a desire he has never had before. He has the desire to repent of his sins. He has the desire to restore what he has wrongfully taken. He has the desire to walk with Jesus in newness of life. And his response to God's grace goes way beyond. There are stipulations in the law saying how much he should recompense people that he'd wronged. Well, he goes way beyond. He is generous beyond measure. And Jesus says these words about Zacchaeus. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Well, just think about how the people are hearing this and what they're thinking when he says these words. I mean, this is pretty tame when we hear it, but just think about it through their eyes, with their attitude towards tax collectors, what they must be thinking. This is pretty over the top for them. And when Jesus says those words, "Today salvation has come to this house," when Jesus says these words, he's not saying that this man has earned God's favor because of his generosity. He knows that Zacchaeus is not righteous. He knows that Zacchaeus is lost. Jesus gives Zacchaeus the opportunity to start again. Maybe that's all that he was wanting. Maybe that's what he was waiting for, the opportunity to start again. And you know, Jesus does that with us. He gives us the opportunity to start again. There's a beautiful prayer in one of the Anglican prayer books that goes like this. It says, "Create in us a new heart, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive your forgiveness and peace." And there's nothing morbid about that. That's a really joyful thing, isn't it? And that's the joy of Zacchaeus. "Create in us a new heart, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive God's forgiveness and peace. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how many mistakes we make, how many opportunities we've missed. The Bible says, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. And I believe that Zacchaeus would speak to us today, and he would challenge us today. And he would say to us, you know what the Bible says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And he would say to us, are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? And do you have new desires? Are you someone who has been transformed on the inside? Because unless you've been transformed on the inside, all of this is just religion. All of this coming to church on Sunday, it's just religion. All of this being polite and nice and speaking nice religious language is just religion. And Zacchaeus remembers what he was like before, his greed and his selfish love of money. Do you remember what you were like before? Zacchaeus remembers the moment that God transformed his life. Do you remember the moment that your life changed? Can a vile tax collector be justified before God? It sounds amazing. It's outrageous. But the answer is yes. And the proof is Zacchaeus. Can a rich person enter the kingdom of God? Jesus just said, indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Can a rich person enter the kingdom of God? The answer is yes. Zacchaeus himself is a son of Abraham. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we are like Zacchaeus. We are neither innocent nor clean. We need your forgiveness and love. And we confess that we are like the Pharisee. And we confess that we are like the crowd. And we thank you, Father, for the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that old prayer of repentance. And we pray, create in us a new heart, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive your forgiveness and peace. And Father, we know that that's not a morbid thing or a bleak thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a life-giving thing. It's wonderful to recognize that we're sinful and broken and need your grace and forgiveness, because only you can make us whole. Father God, forgive all our sins and strengthen our resolve to walk with Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit. In his name, amen.